We welcome Reverend Dr. Ephraim Redner from Wycliffe College as he brings God's word to us. Please open our hearts.
As we remain standing, let us pray. I will pray again the collect with which we opened the service a moment ago. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility and also be made partakers of his resurrection. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. I wanted us to pray that prayer again because of its focus upon the flesh that our Lord Jesus took upon himself. Human flesh, our flesh. There are, of course, many, many wonderful things that we should pay attention to from this evening. Graces showered upon us because they derive from such a rich set of realities that our Lord Jesus himself experienced and lived through and shared with us on this Thursday evening so many years ago. The gathering of his disciples in the upper room, the Last Supper, and thereby sharing with us the Holy Communion, which week after week we are allowed to celebrate with him and in him. There is in John's Gospel a whole set of teachings which Jesus gives on this evening, teachings about love, a new commandment, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the very life of the church. And on this night, Jesus prays a special prayer we remember always, especially amongst our divided churches, a prayer for the unity of the body of Christ. There is, of course, on this night, the betrayal that Jesus experiences from his own friend and disciple, Judas. There is the prayer in the garden of Gethsemane, the gathering of his disciples before soldiers who then arrest Jesus and take him away finally to what will become the pinnacle of his act of mercy towards us, his death on the cross, which we celebrate tomorrow. And yet I want us to think tonight about the flesh that Jesus takes upon himself, our flesh. And so we hear, as a moment ago was read from tonight's gospel, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. This has always been a central text for the church's celebration of Maundy Thursday. On this evening, it is customary, as I mentioned a moment ago, to remember the Last Supper. Yet we do so always through this story of the foot washing. The story is deeply important to us as Christians and as the Christian church. It is important in part because it opens to us the meaning of human life before God in a very special way. Though I reckon it is a way many of us are uncomfortable in hearing. Peter himself, when Jesus stoops down to wash his feet, draws back from Jesus in repulsion. "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" he asks, and says, "No, you shall never wash my feet. Never," he says. Now, there are many ways to understand Peter's discomfort. Perhaps Peter thought that it was inappropriate for his teacher, his master, his rabbi, to perform for him the task that ought to have been done by a servant. Though we can go further, the task was a servant's, not a master's, because in a real sense, we view our bodies, our flesh, as however essential or necessary, ultimately as an impediment, a weight that drags down our spirits. And so for the master to dignify with all his honor another person's body, the body itself, is to value something that in the end many of us would rather be rid of. Not just the aches and pains, not just the filth of our inner functioning, our sweating, our excretions, but the very fragility and essential corruptedness of our bodies. We are born, all of us, often so fresh and soft as infants, only to rot away over time. The Bible is filled with this recognition. As Job exclaims at one point, "My body is clothed with worms and scabs. My skin is broken and festering." Yet this is also a condition each of us knows we are all bound up in at the end. As Isaiah writes, "All your pomp has been brought down to the grave, along with the noise of your hearts. Maggots are spread out beneath you, and worms cover you." I think many of us have very little hope for our bodies. And the world around us, I think, and we see this every day, more and more it seems, the world around us bears testimony to this lack of hope we have for our bodies. Violence against other people's bodies all over the place. Degradation of our bodies. Dissipation of our bodies. It is a world we live in without hope for bodies. And so, naturally, we ask ourselves, are we not made for something else? Is not our life spirit rather than flesh? Certainly that is what we wish. And yet here tonight, the maker of the universe stoops to wash our feet. Peter says, "No, you shall never wash my feet." And yet Jesus insists that he does. Indeed, Jesus presses the point in a way that makes his stooping down inescapable. He says to Peter and to us, "Unless I wash you, your feet, your body, unless I wash you, you have no part with me." So in a way, this night is all about bodies. For without these bodies, which Jesus takes to himself, we have no part of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is interesting to see what St. Paul focuses upon when he speaks of this evening at the Last Supper. And we heard a portion of it in our reading from 1 Corinthians. A little bit after the verses we heard, after describing the Last Supper, Paul says, "So let us examine ourselves then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon him or herself." Discern the body, Paul writes. The word he uses, which we translate as discern, is an interesting one. To discern means to exercise a certain judgment, to pause, to consider, to analyze, to get at the truth of something through a special care. Care, in this case, is important. So I think that tonight we are called to do some discerning about our bodies. There are at least, well, there are many ways to look at this, but let me suggest three bodies which we as Christians have to do with in our lives and that we are asked tonight to pause over, to think about, judge, and discern. There is, first of all, our own body, obviously, the one we live in, the one we live as. And how we struggle with and often struggle against this body of ours. We bathe it, we dress it up, we subject it to careful intakes of nourishment, sometimes feeding it up lavishly with food, depriving it at other times of food. We train our bodies. The people I see running every morning by my house, huffing and puffing. We worry about the way our bodies look and how our bodies feel. We wrestle with our body's needs, its drives, its sexual appetites, which both thrill us but also deplete and distract us. And how much time we spend on this body of ours. And we can go to the stores and see how much space is given to things that are meant to be bought for the sake of our bodies. And of course, as I said a moment ago, we struggle with our body's weaknesses, its pains, its sudden or simply gradual failures, its diseases and faltering functions. It's an odd thing we have bodies, isn't it? And that we are so tied to our bodies. We like to think that we're more than bodies, of course, and we speak about having souls and spirits and personalities and a sense of self, all of which is true. But here we are, and we cannot get away from these bodies of ours. They hold in them and they hold to them everything that we know about being a person, everything we enjoy and expend ourselves for with respect not only to ourselves but others. For the day comes and the body is stilled and quieted, and there seems nothing left at all when the speech ceases and the eyes stop twinkling and the brash movements of limb and expression come to an end. I remember the first dead body I ever saw. I was working at a church in the Philippines and was 21 years old. And a girl of about 10 years old was laid out in a coffin in the church under a glass cover. She had been hit by a car, and she lay there, very delicate, smooth-skinned, but also lumpen and empty. All around her, here we were, moving, whispering, singing, weeping, but this little girl was still, I remember thinking, like a log and wondering, is this what I will be reduced to? St. Paul says to us, when you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, discern the body. So I think the first thing is we must discern our own body, at least, because our Lord Jesus Christ stoops just to this body of ours. Now there is a second body we have to do with also. It's not our body, our individual body, but the body that is formed by these many bodies of ours clattering about in the world. As when St. Paul in another place speaks of small pieces of bread, that is individual bodies that when gathered together become one loaf, the body, if you will, made up of many bodies. You see, if it is true that we spend ourselves in struggling with our own body, it is also true that we do this always in the midst of struggling with the bodies of others, as if we are inevitably attached to them. Our life, if you think about it, has so much to do with dealing with other people's bodies, not just our own. As parents, or perhaps as children with older parents, we bathe them, we clothe them, we touch and stroke them. And whoever it is, whether friends or colleagues or people we are walking with in the street, we run up against them. Sometimes we run away from them. And in fact, our life has no coherent sense apart from this constant press of our body against others and theirs against ours, all of them together. Unless we have a sense as to what this is about, our body is linked with the bodies of others, that is, unless we sense this, we're lost. I remember at that wake in the Philippines I just mentioned, at one point the father of the dead little girl went up to the casket, opened the glass cover, and gently stroked the hair of the small body lying there. What that gesture signified about his life tied to her body. At a dinner a few weeks ago, I was with a very prominent professor, and his wife was with him. I had not realized that his wife suffered from some terrible dementia. She couldn't really speak. She couldn't track what was going on in the conversation around her. And so she sat there at the table. There were many people there. And I could see she was getting more and more confused and anxious. And at that point in the middle of the dinner, my friend, this older professor, he simply took her hand in his. And they sat like that through the rest of the meal. Him holding her. Reminded me of something a close friend of mine told me about his two elderly parents. Over the previous years, my friend's father had suffered a long series of minor strokes. And so, first he lost his memory, then some of his bodily functions, then his perceptions. And at that point, he was almost catatonic. He recognized no one, not even his children or his wife. And so he had to go and live in a special nursing facility. I asked my friend how his mother was doing, for she was still in pretty good health. What does she do? Does she ever go spend time with your dad? And my friend said, yes, even though my father doesn't seem to know who she is. She goes every day. She sits with him. She combs his hair. She shaves him. She feeds him. She strokes his face. You see, she had linked her body with his body. They were only bodies, but that was at the center of their lives. Extend this to your family. Extend it to the church. St. Paul says, when you eat and drink, discern the body. So we need to discern this body of the other and the others too, the body made up of bodies, for our Lord Jesus stoops to these bodies together as well. And finally, we have to do with the body of Jesus himself. It's a body you and I have never seen and never touched, but we know that in time, his is a body like ours, and his is a body like everybody's. When Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus down from the cross, They took a cloth and wiped away the clots of half-dried blood from around his hands and side and feet. They straightened out his limbs that had become dulled. They wiped the dirt off his face. Much like when his mother stroked his hair 30 years before and wiped his face with a wet cloth and held his small body close against hers, feeling the small heart beat when he was a child. We know all about this kind of body because it was Jesus' body too. Its fingers could grasp the dirt and roll up little balls of mud moistened with the spit of his mouth so as to press in the eyes of a blind man. People ran into him, bumped him, pulled at him. There was a woman who grasped at his clothing, desperate to touch him for some whiff of health. And his feet, with their dust and grime, were washed with water and tears, and once even had a woman's hair wiped around them. His body was struck, knocked about, and it made sound when this happened. And on the cross, as the weight of his body pulled down on his hanging frame, his knees and his shoulders and his ankles, their ligaments and joints, they all cracked and popped, just like the knees do in football or skiing or car accidents. We know about Jesus' body, even though we have never seen it. And yet, in this body that was Jesus' body, the flesh that he took upon himself for the sake of the world, moving, faltering, clothed, naked, in this body that was like all the bodies rattling around the earth, and that look, if you look from a tall building, like crawling ants at the bottom on the ground, in this little body dwelt the deity. The whole grand embrace of the universe's capacity to be. In this body dwelt the universe's reason, its purpose, its origin, its end. All in this body of Jesus that was wiped clean with a cloth like a dish is wiped with a towel. For one brief moment, Peter and James and John saw something of this divine inhabitation high on a mountaintop when at the transfiguration they saw a glow and an incandescent brilliance suffuse the skin and the bones and the ligaments and flesh. There it was, a body one might face in the mirror, a body whose hair one might comb or stroke on a late afternoon in the quiet, a body one might push to the ground in a rush, but there they saw this body, which is really and is only God's body, first and before all bodies. If you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you must discern the body. So that Jesus answered Peter, "Unless I wash your body, you have no part with me." So Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist, and after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus, the body of God, the body that can be touched, held as a child and then tended as it grows. Jesus, a body that must eat and ingest food grown from the earth and mixed with soil and its microbes. Jesus, a body that labors and sweats and tires, that can be bruised, cut, and bleed. And finally, Jesus, just this kind of body, kneels down on his knees. And I have wondered, perhaps when he did this, they had already begun to ache. And he washes the feet that, like his own, are dirty from walking. And he does this because he is just such a body as this, as ours. And God has turned him to all bodies, even to our own. And hence comes the redemption of all bodies, of our bodies, in all their cherished and fragile and transient vulnerability. The life of mortals is like grass, the psalmist writes. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it. It is gone, and its place remembers it no more. And yet in the body of Jesus, no more becomes always and forever. So we are asked tonight to discern, to note, and to realize how this body of Jesus is the body of all bodies, the body that has taken in every touch and every contact that this world of bodies knows. Tonight, discern this body of Jesus here in the bread and cup as you share in it. And note how all that we struggle with, all that we struggle against in this world of bodies, God has taken up into his own body, into his own touch. Discern tonight Jesus' body here, and note that all the faltering, all weakening, all intractable fleshliness, the life we are bound to and cannot seem to escape except when it is ripped from us and that we have brought in with us this evening, or even the body we secretly wish we could escape and have nothing anymore to do with, if that is what you are thinking, we must note tonight that it is all here in the body of God that stoops to our feet. If we cannot discern this body of Jesus, we cannot discern the very love of God for us that has taken up our life into his. We shall have missed redemption. Our bodies stooped down to by God's body, God's offering. That is finally the world's hope. And tonight also, let me invite us to discern here the body of our bodies joined together. The body of our children, the body of our parents, of our friends. The fact that we live with the bodies of others, that our bodies are tied to their bodies, the bodies of our brothers and sisters in Christ here and around the world. And that, yes, we are given to one another, given over, lumps of clay to be handled, touched, combed, rejected at times. This is the body that Jesus has given back to us in him. The body of the church of Jesus Christ. The body that knows that there is love shed abroad from the depths of God into the world. A world of mortal beings who, when you embrace them, and give yourself to them and bind yourself to them, stoops to them as well in the love of Christ. If we cannot discern here in this bread and cup of Jesus the body of the church, we shall have failed to note how the love of God can live and prosper in the world and thus give the world its hope back again. And finally, my friends, tonight, I invite us to discern here the body that each of us carries on our own frame. My body, your body. The very mortal flesh that defines everything about who we are in this life. It is odd to think that all of us here gathered tonight will soon be dead, sooner or later. But so we will. So let us discern our mortal bodies here For here in this bread and cup, here in the body of Jesus, here in the body of the church of Jesus that stoops to the service one of the other, here in the midst of the love of God poured into the small container we call the world that calls us to give ourselves over to one another in Him, here in this love, we find the redemption of every terror and frustration that our bodies hold for us. Discern our bodies as being knit into the very fabric of the life of God, and we will see our bodies redeemed for all time and all of time's greater time. In the body of Jesus, such value has been given to our body, such value to another's body, such value to the bodies of this undiscerning world. Eternal value. There is so much hope granted in discerning the body of Jesus Christ. For He says to us, "This is my body, and it's given for you." Given, received, and transformed forever. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. In His name, amen.